The first one was Ephesians 1, 15 to 19. Who of you can remember the two main prayers that Paul is praying? Anybody? Lord Jesus, help me. The first one? Who said that? Yes, like, can we just give a smartie or an Oreo biscuit or something? Paul prays to this church and he says to them, I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know God better. And I use the example that it is opening the curtain to see something new. And I hope that you and I can look at this prayer and every day say, Lord, as I come, open this curtain so I can see something new about you. Opening the lid so they can see something new. And the second one was somebody that mentioned it, that the eyes of our hearts will be enlightened. So today we're going to look at the Spirit who empowers. Many of the songs that we sing from the Bible have to do with finding strength in God. Psalm 46, verse 1 and 2 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. So last week the prayer had to do with knowing God. And today, we are looking at being full of God. First week was revelation. Today, we're asking for power. Okay, if you have your Bibles with you, please read with me Ephesians 3 from verse 14. Is this mic okay? Are you guys sure? Because I get feedback or something here. Okay. It is echoey. Sorry, guys. Can we just like try while I read? From verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in the heaven and earth derives its name. I pray. So here's Paul starting. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all God's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask for. Imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So Paul is writing to this church. Remember, Paul is in prison. Not thinking about himself, not worrying about himself. He's thinking of this church and he's writing this letter to the church. And in verse 1, we looked at a prayer. He prays over this church that you may know him better. And in this circumstances that they're in, he's praying for them. And the first thing that he prays for and the first thing we're going to look at is the power to help you personally. He's looking at this church and they are having persecution. They're going through stuff. A lot of them went over and surrendered to Jesus. Even their family members pushed them away. There were different practices happening in the city, and they were persecuting them. So Paul says, as you're going through your stuff, this is what I pray for, that you will be strengthened. Okay, how many of you know that God is not into corporate structure? He isn't. And I'm so thankful for that. There's some of you that I've been chatting to. Some of you are working in that corporate structure. Hey, some of you got to wear your... Who still wears a tie to work? Is there still such a thing? Just like it. I must lay hands on you and pray for you. In this heat to wear a tie. Hey. But you know what? God is not in a corporate structure. I don't see it in Scripture. What I do see is that He is our Heavenly Father. We are his sons and his daughters. Friends, and as you and I am so aware this morning, in this week, thinking of people, praying for people, listening to people, getting messages from people. There are so many of us here, so many of our family members that are going through stuff. Do you agree with me? There's some of you that are praying for financial breakthrough. There's some of you that are praying for new jobs. There's some of you that pray that you don't murder your colleagues. There's some of you that want to lay hands on your husbands and your wife, and not in a nice way. You're going through stuff, and there's more serious things that you and I face. There's people that are standing at the doorstep of saying, I can't do this anymore. Friends, I'm joking about it, but there's some of you sitting in this place that you are wrestling with serious things in your life. You're going through stuff. And I want to tell you this morning that you and I don't have a corporate manager in the sky that just brings things stuff to you. He says, I am your Father that loves you. I'm a Father that cares for you. I'm a Father that in the time of worship this morning, you and I can experience His presence. We can sit here and we know that His hand is upon us. He's a good Father. So when He comes and He strengthens us, it's not just in our spirit. He wants to look at me and you, spirit, soul, and body. Have a look at this. Exodus 3 verse 7. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. You can put Edenvale there. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. Hope City, I want to tell you that God is looking at you and says, I'm concerned. I'm looking at you. And I want to read this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful verse to you. Genesis 16 verse 13. Please look at this. She gave His name to the Lord who speak to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. The Hebrew word for this sentence is El Roi, the God who sees me. Hope City, I want to tell you this morning, God is seeing you. God is looking at you. God is fixing His gaze on you. I don't understand that. I really don't. This morning in our prayer meeting there, Lainey started praying about this vast God, about the galaxies, about the universe that He creates. Isaiah says this earth is His footstool. That's how big it is. But yet He says, I see you. I don't know about you, friends, but that just makes me so emotional to think that me, DJ, do my thing. And God says, you know what? I fix my gaze on you. DJ, I see you. Roman, I see you walking out there. Odessa, I see you. Ainsley Nell, you're going. I see you. I don't know about you, friends, but this is not a corporate God that's just out there in an office behind closed doors. This is a Father that says, I'm looking at you. I see you. And that word, I see you, doesn't mean like He's just sitting there and going, yeah, lekker, ne? Grafio. He says, I'm involved in your life. I'm with you. And we're going to look a bit more into that. You're not just a number. For those who've got hair on their head, He says, when a hair falls off, God knows about it. If you don't have hair, sorry for you. I'm here. He lives within us. He gives us strength to overcome, to endure. When we are faced with the unknown, the difficult or the rough obstacles, there are times, and I love this, there are times that He takes us around it, hey? That you look back and you go, wow, how did that happen? But I want to tell you, there are also times that He takes you through it. But just know this, that you're never alone. He's always, always with you. Luke 22, 43, have a look at this. An angel from heaven appeared to Him, who's Him? Jesus, and strengthened Him. This is when Jesus went and He prayed in the garden of Gethsemane. Now that word Gethsemane means oil press. That's where it was. Is it a vineyard? What do you call it? A vineyard with olive trees? Is it? My English eight. Exactly. See, my English eight time is busy running out. So that was an area of olive trees. And that used to be an oil press. Now, I don't know about you, but any mechanical-minded person will tell you that a press is not a nice thing because it shapes you. Jesus, in His pressing moment, needed to be strengthened. Now, I want to tell you that you and I, there is times that we'll go through that pressure times. And that's when we get to this place that we're going to pray and we're going to look at. Psalm 138, verse 3. On the day I called, You answered me. My strength of soul, You increased. Okay, so look again at the scripture that we started, Ephesians 3 verse 16. He says, I pray out of his riches and glory that he will strengthen you through his spirit in your inner being. So who's strengthening us? God is. Through his spirit. Strengthening me and you. Friends, and I want to tell you that as you're going through your thing, as you're sitting here and saying, this is what I'm going through, I want to tell you now, Paul is praying this over us. This morning, I'm saying that you and I get to that place where we pray out of his riches, out of his glory, he's coming to strengthen you. Whatever you're going through, this Heavenly Father wants to strengthen you. So the first point is Christ dwells in you by faith. Christians are very familiar with this truth. We teach our children that Jesus lives in our heart. Okay. Knowing Christ in our heart to the fact of experiencing dwelling in your heart is very different. Knowing that he's there and experiencing is very different. If I had $1 million in my account, which I don't, but if I had R1 million in my account, but I don't ever withdraw from it, I will live poor. It's there, but I don't use it. Friends, to know that he's there is one thing, but to experience him is very different. So the Lord is not just omnipresent with us. He's not just there. Friends, he's intimately involved in our lives. At the Last Supper, when he spoke of leaving, he wrote this to the disciples, John 14, verse 19. For I long, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you shall also live. Verse 20, on that day you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. John 15, 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. John 17, 26, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. John 4:4. You dear children are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Revelation 3:20, beautiful verse. Here I am, I stand at the door and I knock. Anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. We use a number of words and phrases to describe becoming a Christian. Some of them biblical and some not. Born again, saved, receive the Lord, come to faith, give your life to Jesus. When we receive the word of the Lord, Jesus and Jesus by faith, we literally receive him into our being. He dwells there as the owner of the property, not as a tenant. So when he knocks and we open up, friends, I want to tell you, he enters as the owner, not as somebody renting. Does that make sense to you this morning? So in other words, tomorrow morning when you stand up and you start praying, you got to understand that you belong to him. It's not the other way around. It's not just renting a 2-bedroom flat inside your heart. He says, I own it. Friends, that changes absolutely everything in our lives. That changes how you and I live. That changes how you and I do relationship. That changes how you and I do business. Because now all of a sudden I'm like, Lord, am I allowed to do this? Lord, can I? Because your conversation with him will be, Lord, what are you doing? I want to be part of that. Lord, where are you going? Because I want to be part of that. It's not that thing. And I've said it so many times. That so many times we do and we ask him to join us. But it says here that he doesn't rent, he owns. Friends, God owns you. When you open that door and you allow him in, you don't allow him in to come and have supper, and after Sunday church, you say, okay, Lord, you can go now again. I need to start Monday. And you close that door, and you actually, you know, you just kick him out. So, one New Year's Eve, we were at it wasn't a party, it was just a house braai, and we were visiting people. So, 12 o'clock, we all, whoo, yippee, shoot, shoot, clap hands, everything. And we were actually busy playing a card game, okay? It's biblical, don't worry. And we were busy playing a game, and the people whose house it was asked us if we can just quickly help her clean up. So we did that, and as we take our stuff to the car, she closed the door basically behind us to say, I'm done. Okay, ex no klaar, you're looking at how it's to come. We were still busy playing cards. And so we all like, okay, that probably means we must go now. Friends, how many times do we do that with God? I invite you in, Lord. Come into my life. The worship was amazing. We sit under your word. Tomorrow morning, we put him on outside the door and say, Lord, you there, I'm going to carry on with my life. Doesn't work like that, friends. He owns you. You're his property. It's completely different. That when you and I walk tomorrow to our workplace, when you and I go into our relationship, he says, I am with you. I'm sitting there. I'm with you. I'm inside. Wherever we go. And that's why you and I got to start and say, Lord, where are you going? What are you busy with? Because I want to do that. What does Scripture say? First seek the kingdom of God. First seek the kingdom of God. How many times do we want to seek our own little glory and ask his kingdom to come and join us? I want to tell you that God is way too big to stop what he's busy doing to follow and fall into your plans. You and I got to align with his plans. Lord, surrender to you. Paul calls this a mystery. He says in Colossians 1:27, to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He calls it a mystery. He says, I don't understand it. I don't. And there's many times that I feel the same. The second part of this prayer is this, the love of God. Ephesians 3:17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And Paul says this, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. The love of God is not head knowledge. The love of God is not reading a book and we understand it. I think that's why intellectual people, and not if you're sitting here because you're in the right place, but I think that's why some people that wants to reason God out here struggles with it. Because they want to read it and go, I understand it, and that's it. My friends, there's sometimes things in this scripture that you're going to read that you don't understand. There's sometimes the love of God in moments in my life that I don't understand why he loves me. There are times that I look back over my life, I've messed things up, and I look back and I see God's hand over my life that I'm going, Lord, I don't understand it. Friends, for us this morning, I don't know about you, but when we worship, you are so aware of this loving God. You're so aware of his presence with us. You're so aware that his arms is around us because he's a loving Father. He's a loving God. I cannot read that in a book and try and understand that. It's something that you experience, something that you grasp, it's something that you grow into. It's not a falling in and out of love. If you heard of people just fall out of love, like you tripped and you'll go, oh, chutz, I fell out of love. That's an absolute rubbish thing. I've never heard that in my life. When you do any counseling with somebody, no, we just fell out of love. No, my friend, you made a decision here and in your heart to stop that. So that's just free marriage counseling right there. But I want to tell you, my friend, sometimes you've got to work on these things. Sometimes you've got to grind through these things. Sometimes you've got to experience these things and go through it. But this morning, just like in his presence, I did not read a book and quickly say, okay, when they're singing, what are they singing and how do they sing? So I can, no, friends, it's something that you and I just stand here freely experiencing the love of God. People that try and understand it in our heads, I love this. This is Matthew 15:8. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. It's a heart matter, hey. It's a heart matter. But Paul prays this. He says, so that, and I read this out of the ESV, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted, so here's the one word, and grounded in love. So rooted, obviously, is an agriculture word. And then we have grounded, which is a architecture. So rooted, and I'm not going to look at Glendon because he's going to laugh at me. Okay, so rooted is when you take a seed and you put it in that ground. And the nutrients from that ground, with other things, make the seed grow. The scripture says that you are rooted in that. That seed doesn't decide I'm going to hop out and do my own thing. Doesn't say, okay, lekker, hierdie groentjies werk nie vir my nie. I don't like this ground. I'm going somewhere else. Does it sound familiar to us, hey? Ooh, this worship was way too loud for me this morning. I'm going with it softer. Can you ask, believer, DJ asked me to help at the visitors team this morning. I'm going somewhere where I can just sit at the back. This ground is not nice. I'm going to this ground over here. And we help from ground to ground. You know what? You're never going to grow in the love of God. Because when you are rooted in that, and as you grow in stature, as you grow in your love of God, you understand more about who He is. And you get to see it, and you get to experience that love. And Paul says you are rooted in that. The architecture word is grounded. You and I are built on what foundation? On Jesus Christ. And as that building, as that bricks are being laid and it's getting bigger and better, you and I always look at the foundation and we go, it's all about Him. It's all about Jesus. And as this building grows and as this building stands strong, you and I know, Scripture says that who builds on sand, it all falls over. But the one who builds on the rock is Jesus Christ. Storm came, weather came, it stood. Why? Because it's built on that foundation. And I want to tell you that you and I are grounded and we are rooted in Christ. Paul says in Ephesians 3:18, may the power, together with all Lord's people, grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep this love is. That word grasp is, we use that phrase, it hit me. Hey, have you ever had somebody tell you a joke? And everyone's laughing, and he's just standing there, and you have no clue. You just laugh. Ah, he's always funny. And you think, I don't know what he said. But you laugh with, eh? Because you can't be the plonker that doesn't laugh. You're like rolling on the floor, like, yes, it's better. That evening, you climb in bed, and you go, oh, now I get it. And you laugh yourself stupid, and your wife goes, what are you laughing at? And you're like, I want to tell you this joke. Friends, that moment of like, aha, Paul writes and he says, I pray that together, that you will have that aha moment about God's love. I pray together that you will grasp that love. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and through the Holy Spirit with full conviction. And I pray that God's love will hit us like it did already this morning. I pray in our prayer meeting on Thursday as corporate together. I pray next Sunday as we get together that you and I together will have that aha moment. That we will stand here and all of a sudden we'll just have a rush of God's love coming over this place. And we would stand there, tears flowing down, and we're just going, I got it. I'm understanding what this is about. I'm experiencing this love. Friends, and it's not just for us together. It's when you are home alone tomorrow and you're standing there and you're washing the dishes for those who doesn't have a dishwasher. So by the way, if you're married, that is a marriage saver, okay? A dishwasher. Again, I'm giving free advice here. Take it this morning, okay? I hate washing dishes. I really do. My wife even saying, carrying on here. Friends, tomorrow morning when you're driving to work, I want to tell you, I pray that you will grasp His love. I want to pray that as you're stuck in traffic on the way to Sandton, that you will grasp His love. I know in Joburg there's nothing pretty to look at. I get that. You know, those clowns at the beach, they just look at the sea, the ocean. People in the bush can look at the people at the mountain. But you and I have got mine dumps. We've got a dynamite factory, got a power station. Sometimes we just got to look at the sky and go, Lord, show me something beautiful. It's very different, eh? I was walking the one morning in the week, and there was just that cloud and a silhouette come about it. And you just got to look at that and just say, Lord, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. Four things about this love, and it's not points. We are rooted in His love. It is a place that we start, and it's a place that we remain. It's the soil in which we are planted. Number two, a love defined by its limitless dimension. There's no place it does not reach. Number three, a love that is beyond knowing. It has to be experienced, not known. And number four, a love that leads to being filled with God. I want to repeat this verse again, verse 17 to 19. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how deep His love is. I pray together, Hope City, that we will have that aha moment. Then he ends with this in verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurable, more than all is asked or imagined, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Friends, when you and I have this power inside of us, it says that it needs to go throughout all generations. We cannot keep and sustain and keep it to ourselves. What you and I have here this morning, the love that we experience, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the love of God, the Word of God, we can't keep it to ourselves. We need to take it out. We need to walk with that. Paul understands that they're going through, and that's why he prays for strength. But when he goes over for them to understand that Christ lives in all of them, and his love is in and through their lives. Family together, hey, family on mission. It's not just to sit with it and box it in, but also to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. I want to tell you, there's a colleague sitting next to you that needs to experience God's love. You probably don't think he deserves it, but he does. There's that cleaner cleaning your floors at your office. They need the love of God. There's somebody in your garden. He needs God's love, even if he looks like a rasta. He needs God's love. There's somebody walking in around your area that needs God's love. How many of you have ever thought about this? That guy putting petrol in your car. How much time do you have to spend with him there, right there, while he puts that 200 rand in quickly? You've got 5 seconds with him. We always say, I don't have time, I don't have opportunity. You've got lots of opportunities. That petrol attendant needs God's love. Your mom, your dad, they need God's love. Your children, they need God's love. There's family members that you guys are on your knees for, they need God's love. Let's not keep this to ourselves. Let's make sure that it goes from our generation to the next generation. Let's make sure that it goes from Eden Glen to Modderfontein to Kempton Park. Let's make sure that this love of God is not just limited to us on a Sunday, but we take it everywhere with us. Can you please stand with me?